right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Here comes the money!
Here we go! Money talk!
Here comes the money! Money, money, money!
Money!
I don't have enough.
We don't have any. And
any.
We're not going to have any. And
oh, we will.
Any that we do have, we're going to be forking over to these fucking companies.
Yo, I don't understand, sir. I don't get it.
I
mean, I get it, kind of, but not really.
I think it's two things. One, I think the economy certainly is affecting everything that's going on. But, well, before we get too deep into our philosophical discussion, we should say that this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 166, Money, Money, Money.
Right.
Yes. So back to the philosophy. So I think, and what we're talking about tonight is that collectibles and all of them and really everything in the culture that is attainable is slowly creeping up in price.
Ridiculously slow. So in some aspects.
Yes. But let's blame the two factors that are totally responsible for this.
Okay.
And the first is the economy.
All right.
The economy in the country is shit, and we all know that. So as everything becomes more expensive to produce, of course, they pass those expenses right. onto the consumer. So, of course, we expected that eventually this wave was going to hit our culture and our items, if you will. So it's not as if it's a huge surprise that things are going up because of the economy. I say the other part of this, and hold your seats, because I say the other part of this is the fact that we have experienced over the last 2 years this bump in the culture towards the mainstream. And the closer you get towards the mainstream, you know, the theory is the more people are going to be buying this stuff, therefore the more you can charge for it.
Now, while I possibly agree with the philosophy behind that statement, I don't think that that's actually true.
I think it's got to be partially true.
Well,
here's the thing.
Maybe for select items,
no.
but I think that the mainstream is still kind of into it on a superficial level.
Okay, so let's separate the conversation into two things. Let's separate it into mainstream items,
right?
Which we'll call just general toys. mainstream toys, like over-the-counter toys.
Right.
Stuff you're going to find in Toys R Us.
Star Wars.
As opposed to
Transformers. Right.
Those things.
Joe.
The very generics.
Right.
Right? So let's stick those in one category. And in that category also we'll put comic books and movies and those sorts of things. Okay. So that's in this bucket here. In this bucket here, we'll put high-end collectibles.
Yes.
And what we're talking about here is stuff like from companies like Sideshow, Tonner,
QMX.
Well, just the one thing in QMX.
Well, no, a couple of their statues and they have,
the little
mock cats.
Okay, so we'll put them in that category as well. But we're talking about very focused, very collectible. That's not the right word. Very
exclusive.
Very good. That's good. Just Mike.
That's why I'm here.
Very high end. It's high end stuff that only the really die hard collectors are going to be interested in.
Right.
So let's take a couple of examples from each, and then let's talk about it.
Okay.
Okay. So I say let's do the mainstream stuff, the over the counter stuff.
Right.
First. So we know that Hasbro announced about 9 months to a year ago that their prices were going to be going up.
Right. Cost of plastic, etc.
Right. And production in China and all the other things that have been affecting, you know, the economy around the world. You know, eventually it's going to hit toys, and not eventually, but you know, it's part of it, so it's going to hit it. And so there was a modest increase in prices for the figure lines that they make, and this was also true of Mattel,
right?
And so on and so forth. And that was actually the root cause, at least they say, that was the root cause in the end of things like 6-inch. From Hasbro in any shape or form. What's that?
Bollocks. Balls. Why, bullshit.
Why bollocks, do you say?
Because because do you honestly think it was the price of plastic that went into the scale change and
I think that's part of it. You don't think so? I think it's
maybe
part
like,
of it.
Like if you had a pie chart, that little tiny like 0.05% sliver.
It would
like
be
you
the
can't
kind.
Even see it.
It would be the kind that would have to have a little line
over
to the side of the chart because they couldn't write in the pie piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Rhode Island on a map.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Exactly. Good. Yes. Excellent. Yes. Okay. All right. I think it's a little bit different than that, but or larger than that. But we don't have to agree on everything. And we don't.
Right.
Okay, but we knew that was coming, and we knew that they were trying to take steps in order to sell us on the idea. Thus, the 3¾ Marvel lines, which I feel personally are an abysmal failure.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I would also say the same, because we like to be impartial here, that the Mattel 3¾ lines, with the exception of the animated line.
With the exception of the animated lines, also abysmal.
Also are abysmal failures. So that said, with Marvel Legends coming back in two packs or however they're doing this, and the price point going up for two figures, we have now seen and adjusted to those price increases.
Right.
Doesn't help army builders for Star Wars. Doesn't help Transformer completists. Doesn't help anybody. But that said, the way the economy is, this is something that was expected, right?
Right.
So I think we agree, by and large, about the mainstream. And, of course, comics have been creeping up for years. You know, what are we paying now, Mike? $3-4?
Usually $3.99 if it's a good book.
Yeah. So
remember the 99-cent days?
How about the 10-cent days?
Buck and a quarter?
Well, you don't. Well, neither one of you remember 10-cent days.
I don't think anyone here remembers the 10-cent
days. I've seen the covers with 10 cents written
on
them.
I own a few, but I didn't pay 10 cents for them. I remember what? I remember 60 cents. I remember 50 cents.
I remember 99.
I think that's somewhere on in there. Yeah. But, I mean,
buck and a quarter.
These things have slowly gone up, and price of paper and so on, and production and so on, and economy and so on. So everything is getting driven up. We know that. What we really want to focus on here tonight, though, is that other bin.
Right.
It's the high-end collectibles.
Right.
And the reason this has been brought to our attention is two really, huge things around these parts.
At least
happened
for
this
week.
Yeah. happened or are happening, or information was released about them, and so on and so forth. So we feel like we need to address it. And
right.
The first is QMX's long-awaited, and I mean long-awaited, like 3-4 years,
yeah,
awaited Firefly Serenity replica.
Big damn replica.
Right. Big damn replica. The ship, it's just like, it is absolutely, you could take this ship and you could use it to make your own episodes.
Yeah.
Because it's that
it's got
good.
Lights,
everybody knows over 40 hours on each particular ship. They're all made to order. It's 40 hours to make one of them or to do the details or whatever it is. It has the little shuttle. It has the lights in the back. And not only does it have the lights in the back, but they have the motion,
right,
the correct motion. They also have, which I didn't know. I found out from people over at QMX. Did you know that they had a full burn feature?
What do you mean a full burn feature?
A full burn feature, meaning maybe I have the expression wrong because I'm a big fan, but I guess not as big as you. And, of course, Ken from Flick sitting in with us tonight.
Yes.
So he might comment here and there. Maybe I have the expression wrong, but it's when they use the full power and everything glows really brightly.
Okay, yeah, I think that about. There were lights built in. And also, you also had the option to change the position of the engines when you order it. So, for example, you could get going up, forward, you can get the Crazy Ivan with the engines facing the wrong direction, like that move that Wash pulls, and was that the pilot episode? Mm-hmm. Pulls it in the so there was some customization that went along with the engines. Maybe full burn was one of them. So,
but I think full burn is available across the board. So you're saying that you have to order a specific engine type?
Yeah, I believe that the parts were, you know, they're not going to be articulated in any way.
Right.
But you can order them in different positions if you wanted to represent certain things.
Oh, wow. What position should I get if I end up getting one?
But you have to pick one. Traditional, I would think.
I'm told a version on all of them is this full burn feature.
Yeah, probably the lights.
Yeah, which I guess they all just glow really brightly,
yeah,
for a few seconds or whatever it is. And this is all available, by the way, on remote control. I don't know if you guys
correct
have heard that.
It comes with the remote control.
Okay. So we've been following the progress of both this company and this product for many, many, many moons. Obviously,
right,
everyone at this show is a huge, huge fan of the TV show.
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
Right, right, right. Firefly. And we're all fans of the ship. And we're all eagerly awaiting this. And we've seen so many great replicas of these things from other companies. Master Replicas, of course, famous for doing these amazing replicas, very expensive, very high end, but amazing replicas and nonetheless. And we waited eagerly with anticipation, and there were lots of rumors going around about price, and everybody was starting to adjust their finances so when it came around they'd be able to hop on board. And as we ended the show last week,
right,
they sent out the email with the information.
Yeah, we're having a post-production meeting. I'm sitting on the couch. My phone vibrates. I look at the email. I get all excited because I see what it is, and then I see the price.
And then OG had a stroke. The vein over his eye went flitter, flitter, flitter.
The left side of my face drooped.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
The blood drew out of him. He turned a pasty, more pasty, palish color than normal. And And looking at him, and he said, oh, no. And I said, what? And he said, QMX. And I said, oh, no, because that could only mean one thing.
Right.
That either they canceled it outright, or it was not really at the price we expected it to be at.
It was nowhere near the price we expected it to be at. Do you remember the estimated price that we walked away with from Comic-Con with?
We,
the rumored estimated.
And we should stress. Price. We should stress and overstress and stress again that that price was a rumor.
It was a rumor.
Right.
And it was, and although at the time,
right,
it had come from some sources that we thought might be legitimate,
right,
actually outside of the QMX camp,
uh-huh,
but from still some sources,
right,
that were in the know.
Right.
And we kind of started to think about that, and we weren't the only ones reporting on that price.
Right.
Everybody kind of was gearing towards that, yeah, price, preparing for that price.
So we were under the impression,
and then
the price would be around $1,500 with the lights,
right?
And the other rumor was there was a non-lit version that would probably be in the area of
a grand.
Of, well, was it a grand? I thought it was a little like 12 or 13, something like that.
Somewhere in that ballpark.
And then there were other rumors about, well, if we were part of the waiting list, there would be some sort of discount. So in the end, a fair estimate would be for the fully lit kit and everything, we thought maybe 12, 13.
Right.
When all was said and done.
Right.
Around 12, 13. Right. As maybe even as high as 15, because they were estimates and everybody was cautioning. The estimates,
right,
were very estimate like at that point. Estimity at that point. So, you know, and of course, everyone coming away from San Diego where they showed it, and at Sideshow they had it and it was lit up and everything. Sideshow will be one of the people distributing. I can only imagine it's going to be maybe a little more expensive going through Sideshow, but I don't know.
We'll see.
But that said, very excited, walked away, everybody started preparing, and the actual retail price, this is the price, we should play the Price is Right music.
Yeah, that was just like Bob.
Yeah, except I can't play fucking Plinko and have a chance to win this shit.
It's too bad. That would be an awesome idea.
I dropped that little disc.
What is the suggested retail price?
$2,495. Big damn, are you out your goddamn mind dollars?
Yeah. $2,500.
It still hurts to say it.
Yeah.
I cry a little.
So it's expensive. Nobody is denying the quality or anything else.
No,
I want to be very clear about that. And then also, if you're part of the waiting list,
you do get
crew,
that.
You get a $500 discount.
Right.
Which is great. So that brings it down to around $2,000.
Right.
Which is still some $500 over the highest estimates,
right,
that were being bandied about, we should say, after Comic-Con. So
this is price prohibitive.
Ow. And I have to agree, we were talking before the show, and young Kenneth from Flick, who is joining us, said, I think, a very wise thing. He said, at that point, when do you decide it's not worth producing?
First of all, I said a wise thing.
Yes. Yes,
wow.
I wrote the date down.
Please, please.
So everyone can wonder, everyone can remember.
Yeah, it's because I am a brown coat Serenity head through and through. I have Asian characters for Serenity tattooed on my very back. I had all kinds of sights set on this thing, and I'm one of the many, I think, that's bailed out on this as soon as I saw that price. So I can't imagine it's going to be cost effective them to continue with it at this point. Who's buying in?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm on the fence. I'm not all the way out yet, but I'm definitely not all the way in. And it's a damn shame. It's a big damn shame, because I think it's probably maybe one of the best of those type of pieces that I've ever seen. And OG, I know you're out.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah,
I can't. I'd love to own it. God knows my. Serenity collection is huge. I have a lot of stuff, most of it put out by QMX. I'm missing very,
right,
few pieces, and they're all on my list to get.
Right.
I just can't justify that. I can't justify that much money.
And I
love you, QMX,
right,
dearly, but I can't justify that.
There was also the news that had come out that there would be a payment plan, but apparently the news on the payment plan is that there's some sort of percentage involved in that, and that it's a 12-month plan.
It's not actually a payment plan. It's a layaway plan.
Right.
And because it's a layaway plan, I guess whoever it is they're dealing with to handle that,
right,
there's some sort of percentage tacked onto it, kind of almost like a finance charge. So at the end of the day, you're not going to be spending $1,995. You're going to be spending 20 whatever it ends,
right,
up being with the extra, and it comes out to almost 200 a month, or just under, or just over, somewhere in that ballpark.
Right.
About
180. About 180.
Wow. So I think, that's what we're looking at. And then the other item we wanted to mention really quick, would you say, I'd say that I'm disappointed about how that particular, the QMX, the Serenity ship, I'm a little disappointed at the way that that's going.
Absolutely.
That said, another price increase that we expected to come was Sideshow.
Yes.
Because they said one of two things are going to happen. Either I think at one point they said this, maybe I'm entirely talking out of my ass, but I think they said either the edition sizes are going to have to shrink, or they're going to have to make a slight increase in the prices. So I don't know exactly how that all worked out, but I do know that the quarter scale Rocketeer has now been listed, and he is, what, $300 and change?
$329.
Right. And what's the normal price for quarter scale? Is about
$250. So you're looking at about $80 extra?
Right. And I'm sure that's part license, because that's a Disney product. And I'm sure the other part has got to be the price increase that we expected to come from Sideshow. So while I'm not surprised to see it, I'm a little disappointed that it's so expensive and so maybe perhaps prohibitive from purchasing.
Well, that was one that priced me out too. I got the email about it, looked it up, and was all set to dive into FlexPay. This was a piece that I heard rumor was coming.
Right.
I was all set to dive in, and then the site comes up, and I'm all set to dive into FlexPay. And I see $329, and went, well, there goes that one too.
Right. It's a shame, but unfortunately, I think guys who are really totally into these things, like if you listen to this show, you know that I'm a huge fan of a very few things, and one of those things happens to be the Rocketeer. So I am going to be one of those suckers that flex pays on the Rocketeer, even though it's more expensive than a normal quarter scale that we've seen so far. This one will be worth the flex pay for me.
Look, it's in scale, so it's it's $80 more on a $250 statue. If you were to spread that out, you'd end up at the $500 to $600, $700 more for a $1,500, $1,200
right
replica. I mean, it's scaled. I think the only difference with this is that $329 is a little bit easier to justify than $2,500. I think the biggest problem, though, is that I think kind of our demographic, which is the target demographic,
right,
I think we're probably one of the hardest hit groups right now.
Yeah.
And my concern is that while they're producing these pieces that we all want,
How many of us are not
going to buy them?
Exactly.
And what happens to them then? Sideshow, for the most part, sells out of their pieces.
Right.
If you don't get those pieces early on, for the most part,
right,
you don't get them unless you go secondhand or you get lucky with waitlist or something like that. But, I think you're going to start seeing a little bit more at Sideshow than QMX, but I think you're going to start seeing more and more of these items hit the market secondhand 6 months to a year later at a reduced price.
Yeah, maybe. Or Sideshow will start reducing them.
Because already.
Right.
Already, there are some of the Marvel Comic Cat statues that range at around $150, $170. Right. Some of the less popular ones are already coming in at like $80 or $90
right
on the secondhand market. So yeah, it would stand to reason if you waited this one out, it would come down in price. I think you're going to start seeing that happen with more pieces, though.
I don't think
Sideshow really hurts. I think
the
retailers hurt on that.
I don't think I can wait on the Rocketeer. I think that one I got to go for. And then the real question is, what do I do about the Serenity?
Go for it. If it brings you happiness and you enjoy it, go for it. Why not?
You don't need to eat for like a year. It's all right.
Yeah,
that's what ramen noodles are for.
Yeah, it's all right.
Those things are like 40 cents. Dude,
I got bills to pay and, I don't know, a wedding.
Who are you trying to justify to me? I've already tapped out.
I'm telling you to do it, too.
Blind Mike Chioda already dropped my arm 3 times. I'm out. It's done.
Blind Mike Chioda.
I want you to do it because I want to see it. Because I want if you get it, then I'll be able to see it.
Then everyone will be able to come over and admire it.
You'll be that kid in the neighborhood that has the
cool
thing.
You just need to go to New York Comic Con or Toy Fair or San Diego, because it's going to be at the Sideshow booth and likely the QMX booth for a while to come. So don't worry, you'll see it someday.
Yeah,
doesn't have to be in Kev's house.
That's true. All right, you know what? We've gone off on a bit of a tangent there, so why don't we get right into the news?
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
Well, since we're talking about money, last week we talked about The Hobbit being in trouble because there was no one there to finance MGM's portion of it.
Right.
Well, J.P. Morgan has stepped up to the plate.
J.P. Morgan Chase?
Yes. They are going to be financing MGM's portion of the film, so it's back on track.
Now, are they aware that by taking financing from Chase that they are subject to many fees and minimum balances and those sorts of things? I'm just wondering.
And their ATM fees and stuff in case they need to get some money out in New Zealand? Or mm-hmm. You never know.
Are you having banking issues, Kev?
Maybe. Maybe I am.
So
good. So The Hobbit moves on.
The Hobbit, not through direct financing, but through some deals that they cut with MGM that's going to allow them to do their portion of the film and cough up their cash. So
will Bilbo have a Chase cup in the corner and
product like booty sweat and traffic thunder?
Exactly.
Is
and bust
Chase
the nut. The bust the nut bar.
Is Chase the one with the Vikings? Or is everybody going to be replaced by Vikings?
Is that Chase? I don't know. Did you notice one of those Vikings?
Is Ogre?
Is Ogre? What is his name? He's a Gib. Donald Gibb, I think, is the actor's name.
If you say so. We can move right into the next bit of news now.
Okay.
Since we've been talking about all of these aging action stars that are trying to hold on to their franchises. We've been talking about this for the past couple weeks, right?
Rambo
fights some sort of genetically mutated monster in South America or some shit. I guess in a recent interview with Bruce Willis, he has at least expressed interest and going forward with the Die Hard franchise.
Yeah, that's funny because did you know that there's currently a comic book called it's Die Hard Year One?
You almost got me to buy it too.
Did I?
I
almost
you said, Mike, do you want Die Hard Year One? And I had it in my
hand. So I guess it's John McClane, the early years comic. I'm not reading it. I don't know nothing about it. I really don't even remember who's putting it out. It could be IDW, but I'm not sure.
Well, there's nothing solid on a film yet, but okay. I guess the first step is always to know that at least your lead star is interested in coming back. And then I guess the last one they said cost $110 million to make and came in at $380 million in the box office. So certainly it's a viable franchise. I mean, that's like more than triple what it cost them. So I guess if Harrison Ford can do Indy, Stallone can do Rambo.
Badly.
Hey, I liked Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I know you did.
Of course.
Just because you didn't.
You poor
Shut up, Jess, Mike. You don't get to say anything.
Hancock.
What was that movie that you love? That
Hancock.
You heart? You want to sleep at night watching? Was it Armageddon, right?
Armageddon was correct.
It helps put you to sleep at night. Put me to sleep, too, when I watch it. Piece of shit movie.
There's a lot of tension between you and Just Mike, I've noticed.
Only because he keeps siding with you, bastard.
I think I find Just Mike entirely impartial.
I'm in the middle here.
When he has an opinion that happens to agree with mine, well then
that's great.
You don't see me flying off the handle when he agrees with you, do you?
All right, can we move on?
Sure.
You don't want here's something
dirty laundry. Sure.
Here's something that no one in this group will agree is a good idea, and that is the rumor mill surrounding Wonder Woman this week. Do we know where this started up again? These things always start someplace.
We got to find out who's starting this.
Jay-Z?
Yeah, Jay-Z. No, what's his name? Kanye?
Kanye. Kanye. Kanye said, Beyonce did the best Wonder Woman movie ever.
So, yeah, Beyonce is the rumor this week. I think it started, or the first place that I saw it, and at least a couple of sites linked back to, I think it's comicbookmovie.com, which really is kind of a rumor site.
They're more of like the TMZ of comic book movies.
That's exactly what they are. They're the TMZ of our types of, you know, they're not Ain't It Cool or Movie Web or Variety or EW. They're the rag magazine.
And they'll post the bootleg stuff and the stuff that you're not supposed to see.
Yeah, exactly. But that's good sometimes.
Yes.
Ain't It Cool won't post it. Comic book movie will.
Right.
If you want to hear the truth, put a lasso on it. Oh, just stop, please. So I don't even want to talk about that anymore. I just wanted to bring up that is the latest rumor this week.
Ken, what's wrong? What?
In agony.
You know she's going to do a song for the soundtrack.
Absolutely. And I'm just in agony. That's all I got. I'm in agony.
Everyone in this room is really hurting today from all of these terrible things that are going on. We should have named it something about pain. I don't know. We're just so everything's bad.
Last week, we talked about maybe the only good thing that will come from Robert Rodriguez's reboot of Predators, or reboot, prequel, whatever the fuck it is.
Sir, it is reimagination.
I leave that to you. You get your fancy cue. So nice.
You, hey, when you did it right, you got the
I got
sound
the cue
effect.
Too. I know.
Just saying.
Last week, we talked about Danny Trejo being cast in the movie.
Yes, as Billy Bear. No.
No. This week, we get our lead.
Oh, dear God.
The leading man in the upcoming Predators film is confirmed.
Wait, let's see if we can get a drum roll here.
Adrian Brody.
Wait, what?
That's disgusting.
What? We're talking about the pianist, right?
Yeah, the pianist. Kong. Yes. Adrian Brody.
We're talking about a guy that's like an eighth the size of a previous lead, i.e. Schwarzenegger.
He's an eighth of the size of Danny Trejo. How is he? Oh, my good gravy. Are you sure?
Apparently, he petitioned Fox. He was very interested in the role, uh-huh. And it was confirmed earlier today. He is stepping into the lead spot of Predators.
The lead.
The lead spot of Predators. Not as a predator.
Is it called Predators?
It's called Predators.
Okay.
Multiple. Plural.
Okay. Maybe he's the Carl Weathers role. Like kind of a bureaucrat pencil pusher kind of guy?
Yeah, but Carl Weathers was jacked in that movie.
Well, yeah. Well, that's because he formerly was not a pencil pusher, but you never mind. There's no justification for
He's
it.
He's also signed on for an undisclosed number of sequels and prequels, and filming in Hawaii starts soon.
In Hawaii?
In Hawaii. Well, the jungles of Hawaii.
Huh, okay. It's safe there. That's why they're filming.
They always go there when they need to film something in the jungle, Lost, this, because they don't want to go to Vietnam and have a Tropic Thunder thing happen. So they just go to Hawaii and go in the jungle for no reason whatsoever.
Did something bad happen to Tropic Thunder?
Yes, it did. That's the second Tropic Thunder reference, by the way.
Oh.
We might want to cut them down a little bit, bring that Simple Mike joke back.
Hey, you brought it up. No one here said Simple Mike until you. All right. Pictures we saw on the web this week that we maybe liked or did not like.
Are terrified of.
I'm actually not upset with any of them.
Oh, you're crazy. All right, let's do it.
Let's start with Clash of the Titans.
Well, let's start with, of course, that you can check out the pictures that we're talking about over at the website, bigkevsgeekstuff.com, in the picture gallery for episode 166. And if you're listening on your iPod or iTunes or iPhone or QuickTime, you can see these images as you listen to the show. It's one of the unique features of this program.
That is correct.
Okay, let's talk about Clash of the Titans. Now, we know it's a remake of the 1980, I think it's 80, film. And I think they're going an entirely different direction with the movie here than I first thought.
Because,
which is not Greek, you know?
No, it's like Roman.
It's kinda. Weird. It's weird that their historicalness is weird. And I thought it was weird in the original flick, but it kind of was stereotypically Greek, so I didn't have a problem with it.
Bear in mind, they also they fabricated a villain for the original movie.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, Calibos is a total creation, so let's see where they go with this one.
You know what, though? I think it's you know, I think in some ways from looking at some of it, it's I think they're trying to be more accurate, much like Troy with regards to the historical accuracy, or even 300 to an extent of the historical accuracy per se. But I don't the problem I have is with the gods, and the ones that we're seeing are Hades and Liam Neeson as Zeus. And with their full armor, and it's that sort of weird decorative armor that doesn't look real to me at all.
Liam Neeson in the photo Matt was showing me, he looks a lot like Vlad in Bram Stoker's
Exactly.
Dracula.
That's exactly what I thought, too. I was like, why are they remaking Dracula when I first saw it, but it's Clash of the Titans. So we also don't know what they're going to do with it, either. I mean, we don't know, you know, there could be an effect here that's missing. I mean, there could be a lot of things that we just don't know, you know.
The acting pedigree is really good, too. And this version's Perseus, Sam Worthington, is I've got faith in that guy. Have you ever seen the Macbeth that he was in?
I didn't.
Good stuff.
Oh, wait. Did I?
It's a modern take on Macbeth from three, 4 years ago that was good. I want to say Australia, maybe?
Yeah. And, of course, he was in the most recent Terminator movie.
Yeah.
He's in the Avatar movie. This kid's bouncing up all over the place.
They're eyeballing him for a future Bond, possibly, as well.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow. That's short life for Daniel Craig, then, isn't it?
Well, by future, I mean, you know, we're talking like he's young and fluffy Remington Steele style now, so give him another, you know.
Right. He's got to get hard.
5 years or so.
He's got to get hard and gruff. I mean, it seems like it's the Clash of the Titans is going to be very interesting. Let's talk about the other pictures.
Green Hornet?
Terrifying.
Really?
Absolutely terrifying.
I don't think he looks that bad.
Look at his eyes.
I'm going to agree with OG.
I don't think he looks that bad.
What? Well, you shut up, Mike. You shut up. You don't have any right to say anything. You just sit there and shut. What was that movie you like? Armageddon? Fucking sleep.
I don't. See, where are you getting sleep from?
That's what you sound like, OG, when you fly.
That's what you sound like when you go off on Casada. We all have our things. I don't think he looks that bad.
He looks bug-eyed. He looks like he's terrified.
He did. I give him credit for losing the weight for the part, though, because he was a pudgy guy.
Yeah, and you know what? And with the Green Hornet, you don't necessarily need non-pudgy per se, because it's a coat and a hat and everything else.
Yeah.
But you know. I don't know. I'm not there yet. And maybe it's the photos.
I think that one action shot, the one with him running forward where his eyes kind of do look bugged out.
He looks terrified.
But the one where he's turning over his shoulder and his eyes are a little bit more close together, it could be a weird photo. I think we'll have to wait and see. I'm not completely put off by it.
I'm not out yet, but I'm concerned.
Yeah, you're looking at paparazzi.
I know these aren't studio photos yet. I'm going to wait and see the first... You know, I'm going to look for the first real photos to come from this. So those pictures are terrifying. Go over to the website, check those out. If you're not listening on a device that can have them pop up as we talk about them. And what else we got?
We have two more things, two more sets of pictures that we saw this week need to discuss.
What else?
Do you want to go video game or action figures?
Oh, God. Okay. Let's go... video game, and then we'll take a break and we'll do the action figures in round two.
Epic Mickey.
What the fuck is Epic Mickey? Right. You sent me these pictures.
Epic Mickey.
That was really good.
Epic Mickey is a game that's being developed right now for the Wii.
Uh-huh. Okay?
And it's supposed to be a struggle of Disney's lower cast of characters coming together to dethrone Mickey as the lead character. That is the loose premise behind the game right now.
So Mickey's the villain.
I could care less what the game is about. Have you seen the concept art, though?
Yeah.
It looks like nothing I've ever seen Disney related.
Well, obviously, sir, you didn't see... You didn't see the Black Cauldron.
No, dude. No, this is... What I mean is they are taking iconic Disney characters, landmarks, logos, and really the one with the Epcot ball, like crumbling and falling to the ground with the MGM water tower and the whale from fucking Pinocchio, like ripping it up. That picture is retarded crazy, dude.
Well, Dark Mickey is upon us then, I guess. And you wait and see. It won't actually be Mickey. It'll be some other evil creature who will be pretending to be Mickey, and he'll have Mickey tied up somewhere.
And did you see the mechanical-looking goofy picture? I don't know. Just the concept art alone. I mean, I'd love to own a series of prints based on the concept art.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it looks really good. This is one we're going to follow on the show pretty closely because I said so.
Okay.
All right, now we can get into other pictures we don't like.
Actually, you know what? Let's take a
break. Oh, that's right. We're going to take a break.
Take a break right here, and we'll be right back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 166, Money, Money, Money.
Combo Breaker!
Combo ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Piaget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
What the fuck was that? Your sister has turned into a zombie.
Hey gang, this is Bruce Campbell, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Ha ha!
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Go fuck yourself.
What the fuck was that? It's the Evil Dead!
Here comes the money!
Here we go, money talk!
Here comes the money! Money, money, money!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 166, Money, Money, Money.
Money, money.
Money.
Could add two more, maybe, monies on there.
Time for the wrap-up now, right?
No.
Oh, it seems like we went on forever.
I know. These shows are so long when we don't have parameters.
Fucking parameters. All right. What are we coming back with? Let's get back on track.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Right. As Sheldon says, I can smell them even, maybe. Comic books to check out this week.
Bazinga.
Include Bazinga. No, includes
from I thought
DC,
the Bazinga was implied.
Yes. Strange Adventures number 8. This is the final issue in what was a mini series that I thought was an ongoing, but I was wrong about that. We found out somewhere 4, 5 or 6. And I thought it went out on a bit of a whimper, I'm afraid to say. Were you reading this one, Justin?
No, I remember you made fun of me for not reading it.
Oh, yes, of course. That's why I was bringing it up again, Mike, so I could make fun of you again. See how it works?
Yes. Yeah.
That's called continuity jokes.
Yes.
You see, I mean, they...
Well, according to Mr. Quesada.
Yeah. The Torch, number 2 from Marvel Comics and Dynamite Entertainment, features an Alex Ross cover, believe it or not, because he's doing this book.
Yes, he is.
Fancy.
Yes, and this is number 2 of 8. So check that out as well. This is, of course, the original Human Torch, not the Johnny Storm Fantastic Four Torch. This is the other original one from the 40s. Very exciting stuff. And speaking of Marvel and exciting stuff, it's Dr. Voodoo, number 1.
Wait, what?
Dr. Voodoo. You may remember him as Brother Voodoo.
No.
But now
I don't remember him either.
He is the master of the dark arts because Stephen Strange fucked up. So Doctor Strange, no longer Doctor Powerful of the Dark Arts. Now it's Brother Voodoo.
What happened to Strange?
Strange used dark magic to do some bad shit, apparently.
And where is
and
he?
They
now?
Said, "Nope, medallion gone. You're out."
Oh,
and now he is.
He was excommunicated.
Yes, he was.
Yes, and now he is the, I guess, the advisor to Dr. Voodoo.
He's like the manager.
Yeah. Hey, I thought Brother Voodoo was a really terrible looking character from the 1970s. So when they're going to update him and give him the power here, I got to at least check out the first issue. And let me tell you about the first issue. The art in it is fabulous.
Who did it?
It of course is being done by Jeff D. Paolo.
I have no idea who that is.
Jeff Teepalo. This is a guy you should keep an eye on because I think the artwork in this book was really fantastic. I might even read the second issue. Just Mike, did you buy this one?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. We'll just move on then because there's no fun to be had at you actually reading good stuff. Again from DC, it's Doom Patrol number 3 with the second feature Metal Men. Again, two stories for the price of one, more bang for your buck, and the Doom Patrol story is really good. I was concerned it wasn't going to be good, but it's very good. And the Metal Men story is very fun.
The Metal Men story is outstanding.
It'll be collected eventually.
Will you actually read this if they collect
it? If they collect it, I absolutely will read it, yeah.
Because you should, because it's some good
stuff. I've read a smattering of Doom Patrol through the years. And right. I even read something with the Metal Men in it. And I found both kind of interesting. I've just never really, really gotten on board with it. So if they collect it, that fits my criteria.
And there you go. And then finally rounding out comics this week, it's Vengeance of Moon Knight number 2.
I hear there was a bit of a scuffle.
Yeah, there was a bit of a scuffle.
You know what the thing about Vengeance of Moon Knight 2 is, Kev?
No, what?
There's a really cool variant out for it.
The one by Francesco Mattina?
And the one that I picked up today.
Yeah, I know, Mike.
Now I have some issues with that variant cover.
Yeah, so do I. And let me tell you what my issues are. Motherfucker, I was there first. I was there first. That book should be mine. You took it out of a friend's hand. That's what you did. You took it right out of my hand.
But, OG, did I not post how cool that cover was?
You did.
Twitter
post immediately how cool that cover
that
was.
That certainly makes up for yanking it out of my hand. Yeah, no, that's good.
All right. Let me tell you what my issue with that cover is. It is a great cover, but I am tired of the variant zombie covers. I'm tired of it.
While I agree with you, in this particular case...
The art is outstanding.
It is outstanding. In this particular case, it's two things. One, the art was outstanding, and you almost can put the zombie thing aside. Even though it's zombarific, you can kind of put the zombie thing aside a little bit and just appreciate it as it being better than the Lanille Francis Yu and Jason Keith cover that's on the regular issue.
Okay, that... Being said, and that aside, we don't need more zombie covers. Do we need more zombie covers?
When I saw it, it didn't even register to me as a zombie cover.
Oh, it did for me right away.
It didn't register for me as a zombie.
Well, that's because you didn't have a chance to really look at it, because Just Mike swiped it from your hand.
I know. In fact,
it looks great.
I barely remember what it looks like, because I only saw it for about 6 seconds as he ran to the front of the store to buy it. But it should be said that the other cover, Lino Francis Yu and whoever the other kid was that I said, features art that is not so great, and Supreme, maybe the worst character ever created for Marvel Comics.
Could be.
And I can't believe that they waited until the second issue to stick him in here. This is a Spider-Man maneuver. It's the second issue of a new series. Spider-Man should have made his appearance.
Wasn't Supreme, now correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Supreme that character that never existed, but one day he existed, and they wrote him a backstory like he existed for years?
Like he was a long-lost character was it Jack Kirby or somebody's long-lost character that they decided this whole intimate backstory about and so on and so forth, and then...
Everybody knew him, right? Like, he came and, like, it was like, Supreme.
He's been in jail. You
were at the picnic
time.
Last week. Yeah, like, wasn't like
Supreme. Right. We got rid of that guy 1,000 years ago.
I got a problem with long lost. When long lost, shouldn't something maybe stay lost when it's long lost enough?
Yeah, especially unfortunately, at Marvel Comics, two things never happen. Nobody stays lost or dead.
Supreme suck.
So there it is. Vengeance of Moon Knight number 2. And lastly, we want to talk about. Actually, this is the only thing that made. Today, the day I didn't put the noose around my neck and the gun in my mouth.
That's a bit
which
drastic.
Wow. It's the Bloom County, the Complete Library, Volume 1, 1980 to 1982 by Berkeley Breathed, or there's 18 ways to say
that's
that name.
That's a big book.
It is. And
I don't
it covers...
mean thick. I mean, like, scale is big.
Well, what I like about it, of course, is that they have retained the format.
Strips.
The strip format. The Sunday colors are in color. The other ones are crisp and clear in black and white. It's beautiful. Has a lovely foreword by Mr. Breathe. I actually want to read to you the quote on the back of the book.
Okay.
It's awesome. This is from Berkeley as well. Fans have pestered me for years for this ultimate Bloom County collection in that polite, respectful, badgering way that only fans can manage. thank God I can now tell them something better than just, please remove your tent from my lawn. I can say, it's here. It's that kind of humor that makes me wonder why he's not still working, besides the fact that he's loaded.
I understand that maybe he wanted to leave Bloom County, perhaps, but why not move on to another artistic venture? Well, he did...
Bloom County.
Yeah.
Then Outland.
Right.
Then Opus.
Then Opus. But he's not doing anything now.
Nothing now.
Okay,
that's
what I mean. Yeah, but it
he's not Bill Watterson, but he's not doing anything either. And Bill Watterson was just like, I'm out of public life.
I'm done.
I'm changing my name to Muhammad, and I'm leaving public life. So there it is.
I'm tired of pissing Calvins on the back of trucks and vans.
I can't. That's like the worst. I can't. I don't blame him for running away. I would have ran away too. This is volume one, covers 1980 through 82. That's a lot of strips.
Yeah.
But only going to run you $40.
That's not a bad price.
Not a bad price. You get the. Did you see they have the real cloth?
I saw. It's very nice.
Feel on the corner. They also have one of those adorable ribbons for page holding.
Aww.
Very well done. This is by IDW. And like I said, go over to IDWpublishing.com. Check it out over there.
Hey, Kev, quick question on that.
Yeah.
How many volumes do you think they're going to hit with that? And are they going to do a slipcover kind of thing like they did with Peanuts and the Calvin and Hobbes set?
No, I don't think they're going to do... Well, they've been doing slipcovers for Peanuts for collecting volumes. So they'll get to like two or three volumes and stick them in a slipcase, which I don't understand at all. I think if they were going to go the Calvin and Hobbes route, they would have gone that way from the beginning. And just did one set and be done with it.
Right.
But this ran longer than Calvin and Hobbes.
A lot longer, right?
Yeah, quite a bit longer. So there's a lot more material. So it makes more sense for them, I think, to do it in this fashion than to do it in a giant big... I really love the giant big thing for Calvin and Hobbes. I don't think it would be successful here. And I think that's why they won't do Peanuts that way either.
And the giant big things are storage prohibitive, we'll say.
You just need
a little hard to keep those around.
You need an effective library shelf, Ken. That's what you need. But that said, how many volumes was your other question? Well, let's see. This is 80 to 82. So if it's 2 years apiece, and I think if they're only going to do Bloom County, which I would hope would not be the answer, then I would say Bloom County ended in
1989.
Sorry. Right, 1989. So what's that? So that's at least four volumes of this if they cram the last one with 3 years. So I guess 89, somewhere around 89 or 90 is when Outland must have started. I don't think there was that big of a break in between the two of them. And then Outland only ran for a couple of years. OG, do you have the numbers on that?
Outland ran from 1989 to 1995.
Wow, that ran that long?
Yes, sir.
Wow. And then Opus?
Opus ran from 2003 to 2008.
Wow.
That was a pretty big gap.
That was a gap. He must have ran short on cash.
Yeah.
5 years. So, all right. So let's assume for a second that they're just doing Bloom County. So if that's the case, Ken, I guess you got about, four volumes, I guess we decided?
Pilot four. I mean, if they stretch it out, they'll do five.
If they cram it,
they'll do four. Yeah.
Yeah. And then one would hope that after that Outland and Opus would follow. If they retain the same format, obviously you're looking about the same amount for Outland and maybe one less for
Opus will probably squeeze into two or three. Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope they do them too. If they're as good as this, they're going to be worth every penny. Good for IDW. This is another huge score for IDW, who has been coming on really strong, I'd say, in the last 9 months to a year with regards to the stuff they've been picking up. So good for them. And all right, so let's move.
One other thing. From Image Comics, Todd McFarlane.
Uh-oh.
Haunt, the cover that looks like Venom.
Yeah.
Show this to OG. I had the pleasure, if you want to call it that, of reading that today.
Uh-huh.
And if you'll notice, the little T at the top of Haunt is a cross. That's because the story is about a priest and his brother, who is a killer. And the first two pages grabs you in as the priest is visiting a prostitute and then takes confession from his brother about murdering.
Did you say this looks like Venom?
Venom Spider-Man. Okay.
I'm going to slightly disagree. I'm going to say it's more Spider-Man than Venom.
Right.
But it's what if Spider-Man fucked Spawn and they had an illegitimate love child? Look at it. Look at the face. Yeah. That is Spawn's face with Spider-Man's goofy McFarlane feet and pointy kind of Spider-Man hands.
Can Todd draw a different pose?
No, and everyone's you're the second person to say that. The pose is the same Todd McFarlane.
I bet
pose.
If we match that up
to like Spider-Man 1 or something.
Yeah, I bet we can match it maybe 90% to some other Spider-Man pose that he's done.
This is exactly what I remember from his boot of Spider-Man, that awful million variant black cover thing. It's the exact same pose.
That's really strange.
And I will say to the people, I don't want to spoil the ending for the people that are listening, but read the ending and then tell me if it does not remind you of the movie Ghost. And you will laugh hysterically when you read the ending of that story.
Oh, my love.
Just wait.
My darling.
I don't get it.
Well, you will see.
Why won't he do Spawn? Did he do the art entirety in this book or just the cover?
No, I think he just did the cover and I think he did the inking.
And is he the writer?
I think he's the co-writer.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Mike, I don't remember this much blood and severed body parts in Ghost.
Well, just wait.
You didn't get the director's cut.
You didn't get the...
Because in the director's cut, my friend.
Well, also in this story, they actually cut off his penis in one of the scenes.
Oh, really?
So it's a family book.
Oh, yeah.
You can buy it with Cars going this week, I believe, came out this week. So pick that up for the kids. Haunt by Todd McFarlane.
All right, good.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to match it up to other Spider-Man covers.
Did you find something close?
Wait. I think I found it. Look at this, all right? This is it. This is the cover. Okay. I got to find what issue this is.
Okay.
That's the same. That is the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
That is the same.
With the exception of this hand is slightly different.
And the head is turned a little differently.
Look, what an asshole.
He took that picture.
What an asshole.
He took this storyboard and totally redid it for this cover.
Wow.
You win, by the way. That is an awesome find right there.
Do we know that that's a cover?
I don't know if that's a cover. I'm trying to find out what that source is.
Geek Stuff. DVD News.
And while OG tries to track that down, I'm going to talk about DVDs that came out this week that include Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Now, something interesting has happened here. Disney has started now packing Blu-ray and regular DVDs together. But what has started with this particular title is that they have done both of them in both style of boxes. So if you buy the DVD version of this, you get the DVD version and it has the Blu-ray version in it in the standard DVD box. Buy the Blu-ray version, it has the standard DVD version and the Blu-ray in it, but in a Blu-ray box. So that's new for this
release. They're being upgrade friendly.
Yes, they're trying to be, and good for them, because I'll tell you, I bought the Blu-ray box.
I'm a little confused as to the logic behind that. Why not just produce something that is it has both, and just from a cost perspective, why do both angles of that?
I have the answer. Because you're putting it in the same package, right? So you're trying to appeal to both markets. But for collectors who have a shelving system set up,
right?
If you have a Blu-ray shelving system set up, you have less space between shelves to accommodate the smaller packaging. If you have a DVD collection set up, you have a greater space between your shelves to accommodate the larger packaging.
Right.
So they're trying to appeal both discs and both packaging to accommodate whatever your storage type is.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably accurate. I mean, why else do it, you know? Why else do it in both formats that way?
Look at you making sense.
Yes. Also on DVD this week, Year One with Jack Black and Michael Cera. This is that prehistoric movie. I don't know that it did so hot in the movie theaters per se. What I will tell you is that Olivia Wilde in the picture.
Hot.
Yeah, I know. So check that out. Comes with both the theatrical and unrated versions of the flick. The Just Mike pick of the week this week for DVDs is The Girlfriend Experience.
yes, that is my pick.
This
for
the is
week.
The brand new movie.
Does
by
he watch it with his boyfriend?
Ooh,
wow.
Jesus.
Sorry, Kev just keeps lobbing him in there. I got a swing.
What did I lob in there that time? I just said it. He picked a DVD. Holy shit.
I love you, Mike. I got no hate. I got no hate.
No, obviously.
Obviously not, no.
Well, it's all love.
Not. I didn't even know how to come back to that.
The Girlfriend Experience, the brand new film by Steven Soderbergh. And I'll read just a clip from the back. Chelsea, adult film star Sasha Gray in her mainstream film debut, a $2,000 an hour Manhattan call girl, offers more than sex to her clients. It's her companionship and conversation that provides her customers with the complete, quote, girlfriend experience, end quote. Chelsea thinks she has her life totally under control, but when you're in the business of meeting people, control can be easily manipulated.
Hot.
Comes with an unrated alternate cut.
Which is a straight-up porno.
better be a straight-up porno.
Purpose.
So that's the Just Mike DVD pick of the week. And something very exciting for all of us here who are fans. Red Dwarf, this is the director's cut of Back to Earth.
Thank God.
Was the was it two episodes?
It was three episodes.
Three episodes that ran in the UK last spring. Wasn't it last spring?
Yes.
Bearish, boutish, early spring. Which reunited the cast of Red Dwarf. I guess, did it end the series? Did we decide?
You know what? I don't know. Because I still never watched it all the way through. I saw part of the first one. So I'm looking forward to watching it. I don't think that this ended it. I think it was just... You know, further adventures in the Red Dwarf universe.
Yeah, that's not what I'm reading here.
Does it end it? No, you could say that. I said I didn't know. I didn't
Back to Earth takes place after Series X. Is Series X the last season? Series X?
Are there 10 seasons? I don't
remember. Kachansky's dead, and the crew are hurled through a portal and discover they're just characters from a TV series. Knowing they will die in the final episode, the Dwarfers, in best Blade Runner tradition, track down their creators to plead for more life. First, the crew attempt to track down the actors who play them in the series, and their metaphysical odyssey begins.
Well, it doesn't say it actually ends.
No. I didn't think it was going that way. I just thought it was kind of wrapping up the series, per se. That's interesting. Well, in any event, it's out on DVD. Check it out. Are there other DVDs that you wanted to mention, OG? Or are you still Spider-Man hunting? Let it go, son. Let it go.
Yeah, a couple other things I thought we should mention this week. Bones Season 4, if you're a fan of that show, is out on DVD this week.
Yo, Boreanaz had, they thought he had
he got
swine
the swine flu.
He doesn't
yeah.
have it. He just had the regular flu.
Charlie Brown Christmas, out on Blu-ray this week.
What?
No. Also out this week, that I kind of want to check out, Anvil. Have you heard about this?
Oh,
this is like the... I want to say it's a modern-day Spinal Tap, except it's actually about a real band.
It's a real band. Yeah. Actually, I do want to check that out. That came out on DVD this week.
So that's out on DVD also this week.
I want to check that one.
I think that was it. I think that was the bulk of it.
You think? Can you be sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
This show is all over the place today.
I'm sure.
People.
I'm positive.
Tighten it up, people. Tighten it up.
I'm positive.
Geek Stuff. Product reviews.
In product reviews this week, we want to talk about two... Well, one out and one coming, and DC Direct continues its repaint and reprint packaging with, yeah, I'm starting to get a little...
this is the what, the fourth show in a row now, the third show in a row?
Well, we've done two recently.
Okay, so then it's the third or fourth one in recent history,
at right, least. But there have been a bunch that we've mentioned, but we haven't actually talked about. This is the Batman The Dark Knight Returns collector set featuring Batman and the Joker. So what they've done is they've taken the original figures from the Dark Knight figure line, of which there were four, and they've repainted Batman in the classic blue and gray and put a utility belt type item on his leg.
Oh, good.
But that was not in the solicitation. And it's not in the Batman that appears on the back of the box. Does not have the leg utility belt, which I found odd. Last minute change?
Last minute
change. We don't know. Joker repainted very much. Just Mike and I were talking about this today, and it looks like the Joker as portrayed by Joan Crawford. He really does look like Joan Crawford.
He looks like a woman. Yes, he does.
He does. He's a little bit of a femme. And I looked at the original here in Studio A, and he doesn't look so much a femme as the new one looks, but... You know, it just seemed a little, I don't know if we missed it last time or what, but still a great figure, both of them great figures. Here's my problem.
Okay.
When they first started doing this sort of thing, when they gave you a story, they gave you the whole book. So, in other words, if this was made, let's say, a year ago or 2 years ago,
right,
this would have contained the trade of the entire Dark Knight miniseries. 4 issues, not a big trade. In this, you are getting a 48-page reprint of The Dark Knight Returns number 1, and that's it. Much like the last one we talked about, the Arkham Asylum box set, had the 48-page reprinted 4 stories or 3 stories book that, you know, which, by the way, they're going to sell at retail in 2 months.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the Joker not really in the beginning part of Dark Knight Returns? Is it more towards the end of the story?
No, not really. He's kind of, I think he's spread throughout fairly well enough.
Well,
I think he wakes up in the first.
He's not smiling, and then they announce that Batman's back, and he smiles.
Something like that, yeah. But then he's like catatonic.
Right,
for years
right,
and years.
Right.
And I don't have a problem with what they're doing per se, except for the fact that we could have a lot more new figures rather than keep doing these repaints, I think.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit excessive.
Yeah, I agree. And they're not cheap.
No, I know.
Either they cost money.
Right.
So, and it used to be, at least at the very least, you got a reading copy of the trade to kick around to your friends
it.
And
yeah.
So on and so forth. So it was kind of justified, but having a reprint of just one issue is kind of dumb. I understand it from a money perspective, but I don't know. This is another one of those money things I think we're running up against. And speaking of money, boy, did Mattel dump a lot of it on the WWE in order to get their action figure license away from Jax.
Oh,
and boy, dude, does it look like that was money not well spent on the fans of that franchise.
These could be some of the worst looking WWE figures I've ever seen.
And you know...
And that's saying a lot.
Well, let's just say a couple of things before we launch into this. One, we do not know if these are production pieces or prototypes. So that's problem number one.
Oh no, they're shopping these pictures around.
I know, but we still don't know. I'm trying to give as much benefit of the doubt to Mattel as we possibly can here. We don't know if they're prototypes. We have a question as to whether they're all the same scale or not as well.
We hear that they've created a new scale.
Right. What's it called?
Superstar scale or something.
Which we understand is 5 inches.
Correct.
Down
about
from,
an inch shorter. Inch and change shorter than the Jax line.
Right. Which
no
is
no integration.
Which is kind of criminal in one sense because... Clearly, what you would want to do for the fans is allow them to continue the line. Mattel's theory here is, well, guess what? New figures, new size. Everybody has to buy them all. Big fans have to buy them all. I think, I dare say that these are going to be peg hangers. I dare say that there's not going to be a shortage of these figures out there.
There are 2 figures that I looked at all the pictures I saw, that might be worthwhile. If you were WWE fans.
Okay. And what did you think that they were?
I thought it was old school Undertaker and the trench coat and the hat and the Batista figure.
Right. Now let me draw.
They were okay.
Let me draw your attention to a couple things about both of those figures. or all of them, really. And again, you can go over, check out the pictures over, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you know, the whole usual thing. No two of them, no two of any of those figures have the same articulation. No two of them have the same articulation.
Yeah, it seems like the articulation, I mean, there are basic points, but it seems like there are some changes in some of them, which is going to limit the amount of playability
right.
of the figures.
Right.
I mean, for us or for a collector, that may not be a factor.
But
for Mattel, who preaches, again, I really like some of the stuff Mattel puts out, but for Mattel, who has for years been preaching to us the importance of playability of a figure and not playing to the collector, and that's the reason why we get 50 Batman figures and one Joker figure, that kind of stuff.
Right.
You're removing playability factor out of a toy line that clearly
needs it.
Needs it
for
a younger generation, which is what WWE is trying to accomplish as well.
They're not even as articulated as the DC Classics line. The DC Classics line are more articulated than those wrestling figures.
The only line that they are more articulated, Aaron, than the original rubber WWE action figures.
Yes, that's
they
true.
Are more articulated
the LJN,
than those.
The LJN ones.
These ones?
They're just posed rubber people.
They were fun to bounce.
Yeah, that's about it.
And I have to say,
thumb wrestlers also.
Let's just take one piece of articulation, talk about it for a second.
Okay.
The waist.
There are different types,
depending
on the figure.
They're showing different types. But the problem is that they have not cut the this is why I'm wondering if these are prototypes. They have not cut the articulation according to the anatomy. So what we've been seeing lately in this type of articulation, we're talking about the lower rib cage abdominal area. What they have been doing, most people have been doing, and I think Mattel is doing this with the DC figures, or I could be completely wrong and I could be thinking somebody else is doing this, but they've been making the torso to the rib cage one piece and then the abdomen the second piece, so you get that articulation in the rib cage area. Right? This just looks like a square-on cut in the middle of the body respecting the anatomy.
There are two different types of articulation we have going on here.
Okay.
For example, looking at the Batista figure, which if you're watching at home, you can take a look at in the photo gallery on your iPod. He's got the traditional cut at the waistline.
The twisty cut.
A twisty cut.
Right.
Okay. But looking at the John Cena figure, he's got that square up the middle cut so you can do the forward backwards.
So he kind of sits forward a little bit.
So Batista can twist and Cena can touch his toes. But Batista has articulation in the shoulder blade, below the shoulder, and in the elbow. And Cena has no articulation in the elbow or the shoulder. He's just got that flapping motion.
Yeah, and I don't know. Does he have, from the picture?
No articulation in his knees on Cena.
Right? No articulation. None. Didn't look like any articulation in knees. So what we're wondering here is that, what are we looking at here? Are we looking at prototypes? Are we looking at production pieces? What are we looking at? Where is the continuity going to come in these pieces? Are they going to announce these things as being articulated to perform their signature moves or something like that? Which is a terrible idea. But if that's the case, Mattel really needs to start letting us know. Here's what I remember about WWE and Mattel. Last year when we were at San Diego Comic-Con, now that would not be this year, it would be last year, they were advertising at Comic-Con for a person to head up the WWE line. And my fear is that they actually hired somebody from Comic-Con because, it looks all over the place to me.
I'd like to go back just one sec to that abdominal articulation we were talking about. You can't really tell it on the Cena figure, but I was looking at one of the Undertaker figures. The bendy forward, there actually may be a second cut that allows them to twist left and right.
Okay.
On that particular figure. But the Batista figure definitely does not have the bendy
part. Doesn't have the
part.
Bendy,
he just
bendy
has the cut part. Yeah, so.
Okay, so our first impressions of WWE figures from Mattel are very scary. It's just something that it's going to make all the collectors miss jacks, I'm afraid.
There is no knee articulation in any of these things. None of them can bend at the knees. I am unhappy.
Yeah.
I don't even collect WWE. I think I have one WWE action figure.
Right.
It's the Hurricane.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I think the reason you're so upset and I'm so upset, of course, is that We have agreed for many years about the fact that the WWE line by Jax was one of the most prolific, best run, best managed, best produced lines of toys that we've ever seen. And the fact that whether it's a money deal or whatever the situation is, I think that WWE, at least from the outset, WWE might have made a mistake here. Now, that said, we don't have enough answers to totally condemn the line, but what we're seeing so far ain't too good. And with that, let's take our final break. We'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 166, Money, Money, Money.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow, with all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Hi, this is Gene Simmons, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 166, Money, 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 Money. Did I get it right that time?
I think you should do three monies and then dots and then two more money.
Do I have to make the hand motion also?
No.
When I'm doing money?
No, Glenn Karpowicz, you don't have to make the hand motion.
Can't
Thank
say
you.
Glenn Karpowicz. No one will get it. Two inside.
Thank you. Two jokes.
Two jokes. All right. There you go.
Puntos. What did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
What didn't we talk about? We talked about the scary raising cost or raising price of collectibles, both the mainstream and the high-end collectible market. We also talked a little bit about Green Hornet, Clash of the Titans, Die Hard 5. We talked about The Hobbit being saved by J.P. Morgan. Beyonce hopefully will never, ever play Wonder Woman. Adrian Brody, for some reason, is going to be the lead in Predator.
You know what? And it's not Halloween yet, but I'm really fucking scared. All of this shit this week is really fucking scary.
Epic Mickey was cool.
Scary. It's like post-apocalyptic Mickey, said Ken. That's Ken's joke. I'm giving him credit.
In segment two of tonight's show, we talked about some comic books that came out this week that we wanted to highlight for you.
Yes, including Vengeance of Moon Knight, number two. Try to get the variant cover, unless...
I have one.
Unless Just Mike is
I got a
you.
Real crisp copy.
Do you? It's crisp now. Doom Patrol, from number three from DC. Dr. Voodoo, number one from Marvel. Also from Marvel, The Torch, number two. And finally from DC, Strange Adventures, number eight, ending the series. And also check out from IDW, it's Bloom County, The Complete Library, volume one, 1980 to 1982. An absolutely fantastic book.
And don't forget our comparison piece of the week, Haunt, the Spider-Man Spawn ripoff by Todd McFarlane.
In DVDs this week, we talked about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Disney Now Blu-ray DVD combo packing for everyone. We talked about Jack Black and Michael Cera in Year One. We talked about the Just Mike DVD pick of the week, The Girlfriend Experience, starring Sacha Grey. Mm. And lastly, it's Red Dwarf, the director's cut of Back to Earth, the three-episode event shown in the UK last year, and this sounds like it's gone in a direction that I may not enjoy so much.
Also out this week, Bones Season 4, Anvil the Movie, and A Charlie Brown Christmas on Blu-ray.
I didn't see that, man. I'm torn about that because I did not buy the re-release last year.
In products tonight, we talked about DC Direct's Batman, The Dark Knight Returns collector's set featuring two repaints of characters from their Dark Knight line of years ago. It's Batman and the Joker. And for some strange reason, just issue one of the Dark Knight miniseries in a reprint.
We also talked about the new WWE figures as they have been picked up by Mattel and our dislike with what we've seen so far. Of course, we'll have to wait until we see the final product.
Again, scary. Maybe we should have named this episode fucking scary.
Scary?
Everything in tonight's episode was fucking terrifying in one way or another.
We have a contest to wrap up this week, one to continue to promote, and then I think something else.
Yes, and the contest we're wrapping up tonight, of course, is the take a television series from the 60s, 70s, or 80s and perform a reimagination on the series as a feature film and tell us who would star in it. And what you what is the winning entry, OG?
Well, we got a couple more entries after last week's episode.
Right.
And then we kind of got a last-minute one that I think we both kind of agreed stood out a little bit.
Okay.
We both were mostly pretty okay with the casting and with the idea. And this would be The Monkees.
Right, which actually, didn't they redo that series at one point? Didn't they do, like, the new
Did
Monkees?
They?
If they didn't actually do it, I think they were talking about it at some point. But go on.
Well, listener Neil from WombatComic.com sent in his submission for a Monkees redo starring Jack Black.
Sir, a Monkees reimagination.
A Monkees reimagination.
There you go. There you See how easy?
Starring Jack Black in the role of Mickey Dolenz, John Krasinski as Peter Tork, Jason Lee as Michael Nesmith, and Rupert Grint as Davy Jones.
Okay, so it's a great idea to redo the Monkees as a feature film. I don't know what kind of music they would play necessarily, because I mean that's kind of that's boy band for the 60s, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And my two problems with the casting, I think Jack Black is too old. I think.
Okay.
That would be one. And Rupert Grint, I think, is not only maybe too young, but is a red-haired Brit and not a brown-haired Brit, so they have to make him brown hair. And I don't know. That one's a little shaky for me. However, I thought the other two were spot on. So that's why we chose this entry as the winner. I think it was the one that impressed us the most. At least it's the one that we talked about the most. So there it is. Congratulations to
Neil.
From somewhere.
WombatComic.com.
There you go. From WombatComic.com. You got plugs for your little thing, too.
There you go.
And we'll be sending you, please send your address to geekstuffog@gmail.com, and we will send you out the fabulous prize that you have won. Was
Correct.
That the Chrysler Cordova?
It might have been.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the other contest?
Well, the contest that we're plugging for the entire month of October.
Yes.
Is our October Toys Contest.
That's right. And what we want you to do is we want you to send a little email over to geekstuffog@gmail.com. And we're telling our friends George and Aileen why, from October Toys, we should say, and Toy Break, why they should move their business east, back to the East Coast from L.A., where they are right now. And, of course, the best, most sage, most convincing email, of course, will win a fabulous prize. And actually, it's actually going to be the top, what did we say, top four? Three?
Yes.
Three? Winner, runner-up, and a honorable mention.
Right.
Is what we're doing here. So it's three fabulous prizes. And I understand that George from October Toys is chipping in a prize as well.
Oh, yeah?
I hear a bag of red zombies
or something
like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He
posted that over at the message board.
Yeah, so that's going to be tacked on. Now, that is not the that is an additional prize. So
right.
These people will now be getting two prizes.
That's correct.
So, there you go. That's exciting. So write your email, your advice. Send it right away to geekstuffog@gmail.com.
And, you know, the fans of this show, they're very interactive. They participate in the show on very many levels, and a couple of them have decided to take it upon themselves via Twitter to try to pick out all of the quotes in our new intro.
Yeah,
and,
I saw
and,
that.
And
yeah.
to see who could get all the answers first.
Oh, yeah?
And I did get a submission today that was correct. So I'd like to just throw out there to Murderface, who follows me on Twitter, your answers were the correct ones. We'll see who else comes in with them. Maybe we'll do something with that at some point, too.
Nice.
People who get it right.
Way to go, Murderface.
Murda.
Dude is unstoppable.
Yeah, he's got a good blog. Dude, check out his 3-minute reviews.
He does a little bit of everything. He won a contest over at Flick.
Oh, yeah?
He's got a blog.
Is his little blog on Geekerdome?
It is, actually. 3-minute reviews by Murderface. He was brought in over there. Well, but yeah, he was the first person to pick them all out correctly. And there are some in there that...
Really obscure.
That are obscure. So kudos to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to wrap up this show.
Yes, I believe you're right.
Don't forget, if you have anything that you want to comment on or share with us, or you'd like to hear on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you can give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 425-920-6050, and you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode.
The hotline.
That's right. Also, don't forget, you can check out each and every episode over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. We have the t-shirts still for sale.
Unless you want a 2X.
All the episodes, photo galleries, message boards, etc. Also, check out Geekerdome.com, that fun, fancy network that we're part of.
And let's plug Flick while he's here.
Yeah, you want to plug it? Go for it. It's your show.
Go listen to it at www. Don't forget the www because I'm having issues with the other version. So www.flickpodcast.com.
How do you spell Flick Podcast?
I'm not even going to justify.
I just want people to get there. Sorry.
They'll find it. We'll have links up.
Or you can get it at Geekerdome, right?
Yes, we're over on Geekerdome as well. And thank you, boys, for having me over this week. So
sure.
Good time.
Sorry we didn't have any dolls for you to look up the dresses of.
All right. That's an old libelous moniker. We're trying to shed that.
Libelous? That's hardly libelous. I was here. I witnessed it. There's no libel.
Also, if you happen to be in the New York area, although we are not going to be guests there, we will be at the Big Apple Con coming up next weekend.
Yes.
You go to BigAppleCon.com for more information. They got some really solid guests lined up there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, come say hi, hang out, have fun.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to try to arrange some sort of gathering of fans and friends maybe on Saturday night. So if you're around and at the show, drop me a line and we'll try to get you that information.
A shindig?
Shindig, as it were.
I know I have a lot of female fans that are screaming to meet me, so if they would like to come meet me there.
Oh, they're screaming when they run away from you, baby.
Why you gotta be so mean to him? He didn't do anything to you. He's innocent over there. Oh, wait, he stole your Moon Knight cover.
I was hopping on board with you, trying to be on your side.
I know, I'm just kind of... Let's wrap this thing.
And with that nonsense, we come to the portion where we ask, Just Mike, do you have any final words... For Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 166, Money, 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 Money.
Why do you guys hate me?
And on that note, we cue the music.
Come to this, we try to warn you all, but oh dear. You may not share our intellect, which might explain your disrespect for all the natural wonders that grow around you. We thought that most of you were sweet, especially tiny tots in your bed and women. So long, so long, so long, so long, so long.
We would all